And welcoming, dear listeners, obviously, here on your Tuesday programming, obviously, this being the... It's supposed to be the home run, as always, as we always have done, but we've got a special particular program coming through with the Namibia Agronomic Board, and this is an insightful discussion lined up for you today. If you've seen our social media platform, you would have seen the particular planned interview that would take place from now 4:30 up until 5:30. Obviously, this will include two particular experts from the horticulture industry. Selma, can we call it a, can we call it an industry, or to, should we say rather from, okay, our discussion will be focused on one particular point, a potato point, but, if we say a horticulture, because you're obviously a horticultural development, officer, and our second guest will obviously be Selma, who will come a little bit, Emily. Sorry, Selma, you're sitting right in front of me. And, Emily will obviously share with us other particular aspects. However, in our starting point for today, dear listeners, just to cite, joining me in studio is Madam Selma Wahengo, from who is an agricultural or horticulture development officer. Selma, I'd like to give you the opportunity of saying hello, welcome, thank you for joining us in the studio. This is your first stint. Don't worry. And obviously, you're here to share with us a lot of details, primarily for our planned discussion today.
Thank you very much, David, for welcoming me in the program, and good afternoon, Namibia. This is Selma Wahengo from the Namibian Agronomic Board, and I'm a horticulture development officer. Thank you.
And obviously, we're going to be taking a look, dear listeners, at the insightful discussion that is planned on the poster that you would have seen on social media platforms. For myself and Selma here in studio, we'll obviously be looking at the exciting opportunity for Namibian farmers, this being the potato value chain development scheme that was recently announced by the Namibian Agronomic Board. Now, Selma, if we obviously, you know, start off on our discussion and we look into this particular discussion, I actually want to throw in one particular sort of like fact that I discovered the other day when the Namibian Agronomic Board launched its annual report about 2 weeks back. Potato is actually a very, very popular particular crop. However, when we start off on our discussion here today, can you briefly tell our listeners about the current state of potato production in Namibia, hence the reason why I cited that interesting fact, and also how much are we actually producing locally compared to what we actually import?
That's a very great question. Currently, Namibia consumes about 30,000 tons of potatoes each year. Mm. Unfortunately, local production only covers 34% of that, roughly 8,200 tons. While the rest of the potatoes are imported mainly from South Africa and other countries. This means that a large portion of the potato market is still dominated by the imports, which is exactly why we want to change the situation via the scheme.
Okay, all right. Now, if we also take a particular at the next point in our conversation, can Namibia really produce enough potatoes? This has obviously also been much of the conversations that many people have had. But do we have the right conditions in terms of the land, the water, and the climate?
Absolutely. Namibia have got several production zones with great potential for potato farming, such as Zambezi, Kavango, Central, Karst, Orange, South, North Central. We have suitable soil and favorable temperature in these areas. What has been missing is a structured support in terms of imports, training, and markets. That is where the scheme is coming in order to help the farmer to use the right technologies and practice in order to boost the production of the potatoes.
And if we also take a look at our next point, if we have to get now into the details of the potato value chain development scheme, how much has been allocated to this program and how will it actually work?
NAB has allocated 5.5 million for the 2025-2026 financial year to implement the scheme. And every year we'll select 45 farmers from all the 7 production zones I have mentioned in my previous point. And every year we'll and the main goal is to stimulate commercial potato production through subsidy imports, capacity building, and market facilitation. And this is part of our broad 5-year crop value chain development strategy, which aim to reduce the imports and strengthen the local production system in Namibia.
And if this particular scheme is fully implemented, can we expect to see a significant reduction in the imports by the end of 2025?
Basically, that is our expectation. With consistent participation and support from the farmers, we aim to increase local potato production capacity each season. While total import will be impossible to eliminate completely, but this scheme is a big step towards closing that gap and build a sustainable local production industry.
Now, also taking a particular look at the next talking point coming through, Selma. Now, if we have to talk about the benefits, you mentioned that farmers stand to gain quite a lot under this particular scheme. Can you briefly outline what they'll actually receive?
The six key benefits farmers will benefit from this scheme is a subsidy on like imports. Farmers will get 50% subsidy on the certified seed, fertilizer, agrochemicals for their first planting season. And then the second planting season, we are only offering 25% of the subsidy. And then they will also receive the training and the mentorship for the two planting season. And this is going to be free of charge. And also market access. Farmers will be exposed to sign planting agreement or offtake agreement upon harvest. Their product will penetrate straight in the markets. And also, we've got a memorandum of understanding with Agribank. So we'll also facilitate for the farmers to get production loans. And also capacity building beyond production. We are also focusing on equipping farmers with business and record keeping skills for the long-term sustainabilities. So these benefits are designed to make sure that farmers not only grow potatoes, but do so successfully on a profitable scale.
And obviously when we look at all those wonderful benefits coming through, Summer, now it does sound comprehensive, just what you mentioned right now. Now, what are the particular requirements for the farmers and who actually want to apply and who actually want to participate in this particular scheme?
For the farmers that want to participate in the scheme, number one, you should be a Namibian citizen, and they should also be registered as a producer with the Namibian Agronomic Board. And you should also have proof of land ownership or authorization from a traditional leader or a lease agreement. And they should also have a functional irrigation system and reliable water source. And the functional irrigation system here, we are referring to sprinkler, drip, or center pivot at least. Mm. And you should also have soil test from an accredited a lab.
Mm.
That will provide us the kind of nutrients that are lacking in your soil and so forth, and what do you need to improve it. And also, farmers should be willing to sign offtake agreement with the local buyers. And importantly, they must show proof of funds to cover operational costs, since the scheme only subsidizes part of the inputs. So, and before approval, NAB official will contact the field assessment to verify that all the conditions are met. So once the application is received and you ticked off, all the boxes will come and they verify to say what you filled in. Is it really the reality on the ground?
Now, if we also get into the particular next point, and it's actually wonderful in terms of the breakdown that you provided, Selma, but the notion in terms of how can interested farmers apply and where can they actually find these particular forms?
Farmers can download the official application form from the Namibian Agronomic Board website. That is www.nab.com.na under the potato value chain section. And once completed, application should be submitted by not later than Monday, 10th November 2025 from now. It should be submitted to any of the NAB officers responsible for the region. And here are their contact details. In CAST, farmers can contact Ms. Paulina Mubiana at 081-300-3320. In Zambezi and Kavango, farmers can contact Mr. Patrick Urbanda at 081-289-5454. In North Central, farmers can contact Mr. Paulus Nashapi at 081-4402-669. And in Central, Orange, and South, you can contact me, Selma Wahengo, at 081-22-65234.
And if we also look at the next talking point, which so far all the particular wonderful information sets that you've dealt, that you've shared and that you've helped us understand so far, Selma, before we actually wrap up our discussion, is there any final message to the farmers who would be listening today?
Yes, I just want to encourage all the farmers, all the new and existing farmers, to take advantage of these opportunities. Potatoes are one of the Namibian's most consumed crops, and there is a huge potential for local farmers to benefit out of this scheme. So the NAB is committed to support you every step of the way, from training to market access. So let's work together. Let's make Namibia self-sufficient in terms of potato production, and let's produce what we eat and eat what we produce. Thank you.
Now, specifically also before we take a quick break, dear listeners, first thanking you, Madam Wahengo, for joining us and sharing this important information with us. That was Selma Wahengo from the Namibian Agronomic Board, dear listeners, talking about the potato value chain development scheme for the 2025-2026 period. For more details, remember to visit the www.nab, that's Namibia Agronomic Board, just the acronym, .com.na, or contact your nearest NAB office. Selma, I'd like to thank you for participating in the discussion, but before we actually close it off, let's quickly take a short break and we come back right after that.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodrits at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lodrits at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
So coming back to your listeners and welcoming you once again, we're still here on the very interesting engagement specifically with the Namibia Agronomic Board. And ultimately, this is based upon the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme. Now, in studio, joining me here, and you would have heard it in the first part in terms of the engagement, in terms of highlighting some of the interesting information bits, as well as also the various contact details that you can access across the country. That obviously being Madam Selma Wahengo, in terms of just highlighting and citing some of the interesting developments that is contained within the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme. Now, there's also another interesting scenario. I actually have Madam Wahengo here just for a limited time frame. There's obviously still someone else coming to join us, that from the Agronomic Board itself, Namibian Agronomic Board itself, that being Madam Emily, who will also cite the various interesting developments and talking points regarding the scheme itself. Just to indicate to you as well, dear listeners, we are having this conversation up until 5:30. You have the opportunity of participating in conversations by calling through at 083-288-401, the studio number right here. Any interesting aspects, facts, information bits that you heard from Selma sharing the particular discussion around the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme, call through, ask your question directly. Well, you can also, you know, get your response also when Emily steps in as well. However, Selma, since I still have you for the next 10 minutes and the interesting aspects and information bits that you shared, the Potato Value Chain Development Scheme obviously has been in existence. I just want you to share that unique aspect once again. Obviously, this is a 2025-2026 cycle that you cited at the start, but just citing some of the interesting talking points that obviously emanated from there. But before we actually continue, just give us a, you know, an indication in terms of, you know, the level at which potatoes has become a staple by citing the various is it values basically, or the amount of potatoes that Namibia actually has or consumes and makes use of?
If you look at the number of tons we consume per month, like that is 30 tons per annum, not per month, we consume as a country, and compared to the 8.2 tons that we make domestic production. So if you look at our feast, our ceremonies, we consume potatoes, but then when it comes to the production, the demand is not talking to the consumption. That's why now NAB is pushing this scheme in order to meet the demand
for the local production demand.
For the local production, this is the consumption. So therefore, I think if farmers put in effort and then we all get consistent and put our hands in the basket in order to welcome this scheme, I think we'll be able to meet the demand versus the production.
And then there's obviously also the very interesting aspect in terms of the, if we take a look primarily at all the demand, which is technically also an absorption, because you've got hospitality, you've got restaurants, you've got everyday uses, you've got agricultural processes feeding into that. So yes, it does speak towards, like you highlighted, the sort of like demand versus the local production level. But before we actually continue, dear listeners, do remember you have the opportunity of still coming through with questions and comments, as well as also participatory, contributions. On that note, we quickly take once again a short break and come back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
And coming back, dear listeners, and also welcoming into the studio, obviously, as mentioned, if you've seen the poster on our social media that coming through on the Eagle FM and the Villager social media platforms, we have the Namibia Agronomic Board here on board for, well, it's the next 5 minutes up to five, but from 4:30 to 5:30, the conversation regarding the potato value chain development scheme. We've obviously had a lot of insightful information coming through from Madam Selma Wahengo in terms of just understanding the developments specifically regarding the scheme, but also joining us in the studio right now is Madam Emily Abram. Emily, it's been a long time since we've met the last time, which was last year for the same conversation, I think. Or was it a different conversation last year?
I think so. It was a different conversation, but we are always together.
Yes, we're always together.
We speak so many times, and it feels like we are always together. So.
And obviously, the particular conversation we're having right now is an interesting development. Mm-hmm. Selma already cited to us the scheme is 2025 to 2026. Mm-hmm. There's a curveball I'm going to throw into a conversation we've had so far. Mm-hmm. Selma, I wanted to throw this to you, but you actually blocked me now. Before we stepped into the studio. If we look at the aspect of the kind of potato, that Namibians, because obviously people just see a tomato and they go like, a potato is a potato. But is there a specific, a designated potato that is adequate for Namibia's climate and its particular vegetation, soils, and the likes? Because obviously I'm leveraging off your knowledge and your expertise as the horticultural experts in front of me. What does that look like specifically? And if you want to share like market insights in terms of the requisite potato for Namibia, what does it look like? Because I went on a potato deep dive and I didn't realize that it's more like, is it 30,000? Different species, because the museum sits somewhere in South America. Mm-hmm. The museum, because obviously that's where the thing comes from, yes.
Yes, David, I think that's a brilliant question. Maybe I'll just start by complimenting my colleague Selma, who already alluded to what entails the potato development scheme.
Yep.
It's just to say the main idea for coming up with this initiative is actually to reverse the high importation of potatoes. If you look at the statistic, you'll be able to see that the import bill for potato is actually very high, standing at almost 160 million. And that's a lot of money. And I always like to tell the farmers and also the general public to say, when you are importing a lot of things from other countries, you are actually exporting your jobs. Because the same amount that you are spending there, you're actually encouraging producers on the other side to say, plant more, because we need your product.
And that the demand is coming from Namibia.
And the demand is coming from Namibia.
Yeah.
So what we are looking at is to say, we have a huge responsibility as the Namibian Agronomic Board, as per the mandate that we are given to take care of the crop value chain, to say that what do we need to do so that we empower our farmers to be able to produce, expand, or maybe start, because sometimes a person wants to start, but capital or seed capital can be a challenge. And we have been now looking for, if you look at historically, we've been now pushing, let us grow this. But then we realize that as a parent, we need to go into the industry and collect the information and understand the needs of the farming community to say what is exactly that is hindering you from producing potato.
Mm.
Because if you look at the potato, potato is loved most because of varam chips. That's where I want to come.
It's not just, I should know, Selma, yeah? you have restaurants, you've got mm-hmm. hospitality, you've mm-hmm. got, then there's obviously the industrialization part.
Mm-hmm.
There are also other aspects where potato finds itself present mm-hmm. and it's a large footprint.
It's a large footprint, and that's where I'm coming to say, just already by maybe looking at the statistic that we consume, to say the tonnage we consume per month,
mm.
it's close to 3,600 per month.
Mm.
And if you now take it, for example, in a year, you have to multiply 3,600 tonnage that we consume. And remember that tonnage is just the volume that went through the formal market.
Mm.
We are not talking about the informal market. And the informal market is very quite huge in Namibia. Mm. We started registering the vendors and we were so shocked to see that already our figures are going to 500 already.
Yeah.
And we are told that we
have... Is it like the regular street vendors?
Yes, street vendors. They are quite a lot and they are contributing significantly yeah. to the economic development of this country, especially on the side of horticulture.
Mm.
They are buying produce from the producers mm. and sell. And some of them they buy from the retailers that source from the producers,
mm.
which means that they are critical role players
in the distribution
systems. So now to go back to the statistic again to say, if you look at now the volume that we push through the formal market
mm.
is 3,600 per month. And you look at now the unaccounted for that goes through the informal market, which could be double.
Yeah.
Or it could be maybe 60%.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about 5,000 or 6,000 tonnage.
Mm.
But then again, my heart always bleeds when we see, we are only able to bring maybe 20 or 30% of what we consume.
Mm.
So meaning that when you go to the supermarkets, you only own 30% or maybe 35%.
Which is on the shelf.
On the shelf, what we produce in the country. And 65 or maybe sometimes 70 is coming from outside.
Mm.
And that is what we are now looking at as a board to say, no, this cannot be true.
Mm.
We need to see how we reverse this situation because potato is a staple food. It's actually second to pap. I love pap myself, but
no. But based on your statistics itself, I mean, what Selma also shared now with us is that it seems actually it's number one.
It is actually number one crop out of 156.
So we talk about staple
product
yeah,
that
yeah.
we bought in.
Yeah.
It's actually number one crop that we actually consume.
Mm.
And I can tell you that 1 year, I think we closed the borders for two weeks only, because
yeah.
the peak season for Namibia normally starts from July, beginning of August.
Mm.
You find that farmers are able to get high harvest or to be able to harvest mm. more than what they expected.
Yeah.
And we attempted to close the border just to allow them to sell
yeah.
what we have on the table. It only took us 2 weeks.
For everything to be consumed.
For everything to be consumed. And people, they were calling nonstop. Some of them, they are even complaining, no, why we cannot? And farmers even came to us because they were overwhelmed by orders to say, no. We thought we are able to make it, but we can't
yeah.
open the borders because yeah. we can't.
Yeah.
So that is what we are looking at to say. We want now to start now to sensitize the farming community to expand their field and also particularly targeting the small scale farmers who have challenges to acquire quality seeds to plant.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the volume that is coming through, it's just coming from the commercial farmers. The small scale farmers are not really participating. And you want them also to be included in the mainstream economy. And that's why we are now looking at to say the scheme is providing 50% on the quality seeds, which is supposed to be sourced from the reputable source.
Mm-hmm.
I think my colleague already alluded to that. And we are also looking at subsidizing the fertilizer cost because fertilizer is very expensive now.
Mm-hmm.
And chemical also,
yeah.
because for you to actually grow a healthy crop, you need the pesticide, you need to control pesticide. And that's where we are now looking at those critical items, the fertilizers, the pesticide, and then your high quality seed. Because some farmers also, the challenge that we have, the small one, you find that they go to the shop, they collect the normal potato that we consume,
mm.
and then they cut it into pieces, and then they grow. That is not seed.
I think that's what happened to me. I tried that last mm-hmm. year at home.
Don't do it again.
That horticulture. No, we also made a mistake primarily just to share a little bit of my own particular experiment at home.
Yes.
We realized that if you unfortunately buy the wrong soil, if you try your own backyard gardening mm-hmm. and you buy the wrong soil, mm-hmm. there's also something known as infected soil sometimes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the whole kernel, that thing that mm-hmm. we cut up mm-hmm. was chewed up completely. That by now, the microorganisms.
Yeah, that's now bring us to what I want to emphasize on soil and adaptability, because you have requested also, I mean, you have asked that question.
Mm.
I think when it comes now to the quality of seed is very critical.
Yeah.
Because if it's an inferior seed, or maybe it's already infected from wherever it's coming from,
mm.
then obviously you are doomed to fail before you start. You have already failed before you start planting. Because you find that some farmers, they bought some seed back. I don't know where they got them from.
Mm.
They planted. The canopy looks so green.
Mm.
They invested a lot of money to buy fertilizer, pesticide. And eventually during harvest, when they pull the potato, there's nothing.
Mm.
Or some of them, they already find the roots are already attacked.
Yeah.
So that's why now what we are looking at also is to say, you need to test your soil and prove to us that your soil, what is the status of your soil?
Mm.
Because it is one of the requirements that we seek you to submit together with your application. Did you test your soil? Is it fit for that purpose?
Mm.
What type of nutrients that are already existing in the soil so that you can just complement with the fertilizers? And obviously, when you are now going to procure your fertilizers, you also be informed by the by the soil test analysis and recommendation.
Mm.
So that's why you find that most of the things that we put there is to address the current situation that are there, so that we actually put the farmer in the right path to start farming correctly.
Mm.
Because sometimes also the mismanagement, or it starts with a simple thing, and then you will
have, for example, like with soil.
Yes, something like a soil, the way you put it. Something like sourcing the
seed
seed. Something like just planting using a blanket method approach, which is planting without knowing what exactly is there.
Mm.
You keep on pumping fertilizer until the salt build up in the soil, and it starts now again having an impact on the microorganisms that are in the soil.
Mm.
Because remember, synthetic fertilizers are fine. They are good for commercial purposes because they increase yield.
Yeah.
But when they are overused, they also have a very severe impact on your soil.
Yeah.
And that's why you find that some farmers, they have dead soil, because the soil is supposed to be alive.
Is it the term you just used now, Emily, is it like a buildup of salt?
Yes.
Actual salt. Like salt crystals.
You know, for example, when they are preparing those fertilizers, some of them, they use actually those, they use a kind of salt to mix up, because remember, salt has a role to play.
Yeah.
Although it's not salt that we used to consume,
to
put in our food, but what we are saying is that when you are putting it more,
there's going to be build up.
Then it will build up because it will not be utilized. The plant will only take up
what it needs.
What it needs. And then it leave it there. So as now you apply and apply, you even find that now the yield will decline because you are actually now overloading. It's like, for example, putting chili.
Mm.
Those of you who like chili. If you put, for example, a whole bag of chili, do you still want to eat the chili? You won't be able to do that.
No, but if every meal is going to have chili, it's going to be a problem, yes.
Yeah, it will be a problem as well. And that's why we are saying that you want them to start doing proper and smart farming.
Mm.
And that is now, you see that we also have mentorship service, which is coming at no cost, free of charge. So we'll be now carrying you. We will holding your hand for 2 planting seasons.
Mm.
And then after we are satisfied that now you are weaned, you are good to go, you can be on your own, then we release you so that you can also accommodate others.
Mm.
So those things that you are talking about, they are really genuine concern. And that is actually why you see that the way we structure the scheme is to address the shortcomings that we have experienced or that farmers are experiencing,
mm.
and for us also to be able to promote production.
Yeah.
And eventually we are looking at creating employment,
because
we have a lot of graduates that are doing agriculture. A lot of universities now, they are offering agriculture and also vocational schools.
Mm.
But then the question is, where are these people going to be? Because agriculture is a vocational subject on its own.
Mm.
And I always like to say, even a grade 12 holder, if we could actually take agriculture as a vocational subject, you find that some people from other countries, I don't want to mention names, you find that they are even just maybe a grade 10 dropout, or somebody who just completed grade 12, but can manage a farm. But the question is that's come back to us. Can someone who actually end up in grade 10, who did agriculture, be able to manage a farm? Can someone who completed university in Namibia, who have done agriculture, manage a farm? And that is a concern. And what we are saying is that the more we have more farmers in the country, the more also students are able to get exposed.
Yeah.
Because they can be sent to several farmers. They can actually work and learn there. And we will eventually have the younger generation participating also in farming. So I think that is actually what we are looking at. And it has really a lot of a positive impact. That's what we assume, although we are still at the starting line. But we are looking at all those things to say to stimulate local production, to create job, enhance food security, and also reverse the high importation of potato in the country. And and maybe just to come back to you to say, on in terms of environmental requirement, look, normally what we do is that NAB has what we call research and development department. That division is specifically responsible to research and do experimental research, especially on varieties that we think are suitable for this country and on crops that you want to start growing, looking at the demand and the market behaviors. So what we did is that in the past, we did also some trials. We ran those trials using several potato seed cultivars across the country. Of course, we realized that the data or the findings, they are really very strongly in terms of to say potato is highly sensitive to frost. But the positive feedback is that most of the area in Namibia, they can grow potatoes, provided that you are planting your potato in the right time. It's about planting, I mean, correct timing as well. And that will also be incorporated in our trainings because we have to train them properly.
And obviously so, the pre-preparation that you cited.
And the pre-preparation as well. I think that preparations, it's also the issue of planting timing or the correct planting time. So we have no doubts that potato cannot grow here because in any case it's already being produced.
Exactly.
We have farmers that are producing it. We just need to start now expanding and spread our wings to say, even in rural communities, let us produce potatoes. And maybe one thing that I want to highlight also is that when we are doing the research, we gave some farmers, small scale farmers, seed, and then we say, look, that is your baby. Take care of this, of the potato. Buy your fertilizer, buy your chemicals. We just provide mentorship. And I can tell you it worked so well. They produce and we say, because you bought the production input, the potato is yours at harvesting. And they were even saying that even before they even load those potatoes, people, they were already calling nonstop.
So they already had the orders.
They already have orders. And from there, most of them that participated in the trials, I'm talking about trials, they started now having passion to grow potato because they realize potato is rewarding. Of course, it comes with the implication. If you did not plant it so well such that maybe you just plant at the same field year after year, it might bring some complication because potato is a heavy feeder and it can deplete your soil. And even in terms of, also in terms of the nematodes or any other pest might be actually be accumulating because we're just planting the same thing. I think it's also another thing that farmer, they need also to, or will have to train them how to do crop rotation to make sure that they also pay attention to farm with the soil and at the same time also farm with the potato. So I think those aspects are very critical. But I just want to highlight that potato is doable. Other people are doing it. We can do it as well. And the most potato that are normally demanded in the country is the chips potatoes, which is actually, you talk of your Mondio. Mondio is coming from South Africa. Some they grow also Sifra, but Mondio is actually one of the potato that is required. But again.
But is it the most popular?
It's the most popular one. And then we have also Sifra and others. And I think I also saw now some others are growing Vala or something. There's quite a lot of varieties that are in the market. But then you find that the chips potato is highly demanded because you find that people, they love Varan chips.
Yeah,
and
they do.
You go everywhere, you find people are queuing up.
And it's an easy to eat meal.
Exactly. Yes. And that's why you see that even when they are coming, those that are going to apply, the beneficiaries, I said it again that we will have a mentorship service for them.
Mm.
We will have also, we have to do some intensive training for them. And in those training, we are going to also to unpack the market requirements. Even when they are calling, they are coming through with their applications. We have our officials that are on the ground, the like of Selma's and the colleagues that are not here. They will have to go in the field. And then they assess and already provide ad hoc advice, spot on based on the needs of the farmer, of
that specific farmer.
Yes, yeah. Because farmers' needs are not the same. Yeah. I like to say, even if you are neighbors, you cannot have the same soil. You cannot have the same water.
You don't even have the same rain
pattern. You don't have the same rain patterns. Yeah. And that's a good one because we even saw one farmer there in, I think, Otavitsumeb area where the rainfall that he received, it's quite shocking as compared to the neighbor farms.
Yeah.
You find that he received actually more millimeters per annum as compared to other farmers.
Or like what the guys that I heard in Hartab. Some of the guys, it rained for in a corner of the farm, and then his neighbor got the majority of the. It's as if Namibia draws lines with rainfall for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want you to touch on the market access component, Emily. In terms of, you've cited obviously the orders were there for some of the trial farmers, in terms of when the trial process had been done. Obviously, you know, there has been a lot more participants taking place in the scheme over. Just to resuscitate our memories, when did the scheme start again? You know, the rollout, not for this cycle, but in terms of the age, how old is the scheme in terms of its cycle? Just for our listeners also to once again understand that there's actually testimonies out there that people have seen.
Yeah, maybe just to start with the scheme to say, potato scheme in particular is a baby, but it's actually falling within a market share promotion scheme.
Mm.
It is actually part and parcel of market share promotion scheme.
Mm.
If I have maybe to give you just a small overview of the scheme, the market share promotion scheme by definition is just for us to promote
locally grown stuff.
Locally grown stuff.
Yeah.
It's basically like a homegrown. I mean,
it's like the homegrown strategy that MIT had, Ministry of Industry and Trade.
Yes, but this one is specifically now for horticulture.
Yeah.
So the scheme started in 2005. At that particular time, a lot of retailers were just importing potatoes from elsewhere. And also the production that time was also very low.
Mm.
It can be that farmers were also not really having that zeal to participate because the market access was not really well defined.
And we also had a great obsession with livestock farming.
Exactly, and livestock farming. But now, as time goes now, they are also now realizing that climate change is real and is evident.
Mm.
And it also calls everybody to start implementing what you call paradigm shift.
Mm.
Because the reality is that change is inevitable.
Mm.
It's either you change or the climate change will change you.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. So what we are saying now is that when we started now in 2005, we look at it to say the country was only able to bring on the shelf, our farmers will only be able to claim 5% on the market shelf.
And we
said that cannot be true.
Yeah.
Because 95% you are heavily relying on other countries to supply you. 95%. Those who are good mathematicians will say it's almost equivalent to 100 because 5 can round 9.
Yeah, because you're already at the 5 of the 95. Yeah.
So we then came up with the market share promotion scheme to stimulate production, because when you take care of the market access, it encourages the producer to produce more because they are so sure, and it's like a guarantee that your crop is going to land on the shelf.
Mm.
So when that now scheme was introduced, a lot of people, they started now planting, expanding their fields. And then as we speak, we are now standing at 47%.
Yeah.
Meaning that if you go on the shelf, at least you own 47%.
Mm.
But that is now an aggregated figure for all of them.
Yeah.
But in particular now for coming now in 2012 there, we then also realized that market share alone, for us to say, traders, you must procure this particular percentage from the farmers and import this percentage, we realized that it is effective, but it's not enough.
Mm.
We then introduced what we call special control product scheme. That scheme is where now we actually listed the products that are strongly produced in the country or our farmers are able to produce.
Mm.
And we then now decided to say every month, whenever we have enough, we close the border a little bit just to protect our farmers because they are a baby. We can't allow them to compete with the countries that have full muscles. I know people have
and
problems.
And who are literally, you know,
yes,
exporting
they are producing at economies of scale as we are just starting. So what we realize is that, okay, we then listed potato. It was listed in 2012 and then onions. And what came out strongly is that potato, we eat potato, but we use onions.
Mm.
That is the difference. So we eat potato and we use onions. So the demand for potato came out strongly because people consume potato. They don't use potato.
Mm.
What I'm trying to say is that I can cook a meal without onions, but I can still
that is true,
eat
yeah.
and go to sleep.
Because I was going to ask that question. I mean, because
exactly.
I was like, okay, the onion component, because I've also seen that we do have a strong base for growing onions.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, NAB would be, you guys would be in a better position to say, okay, comparing the onion import versus the onion growth, obviously, because there's the purple, is it the red onion? It's known as red onion, the purple one. And then you've obviously got the mainstay normal white onion. And those, obviously, not many people buy the red onion.
You know, some of the things is about also an understanding.
But it's not about the onions. I'm sorry.
It's not about onions. I'll just say a little bit to say, for example, onion, we are very strong in terms of producing onions. We are also exporting to DRC. We are exporting to Angola. And at some stage, we also have to export to
even to South Africa.
To South Africa, especially when they had how do they call it?
2021.
Power shedding or something.
Or load shedding.
Or something. Yeah, so we are doing very well with onions. Even if there's a product or commodity that, one can stand and maybe just show off, you can actually pick onions because we do good with onions. Although then the brown onions is strongly demanded, mainly the medium size and prickle onions as compared to the large onions, because the larger onions people, they don't like it so much. It's mostly for the, fish canning industry. But then all I'm saying is that people use onions. They don't eat onions.
Yeah, they don't eat.
And that's why the demand is not as powerful
as for
potato, because potato is powerhouse. It's a carbohydrate product. And that's why it's competing
rich in minerals.
With the staple food. Exactly.
Yeah, rich in
so minerals. Now what we are saying is that, I think what was your question again?
It was, it was the aspect in terms of where you were leading into onions, potato.
Exactly. Yeah. When now we introduce that onion and potato, people, they start now to produce other crops. And then we added them. As we speak, currently, we are standing at 20 product.
Mm.
So we monitor this production of this product. As we monitor it, we realize that, come on, the demand for potato is very high. And potato is number one crop. We import a lot of volume of potato every year.
Mm.
I think we need to do something so that we reverse the situation as soon as we can. And that's why if you look, I know it cannot be reversed immediately as of yesterday. And that's why you see that this scheme is actually addressing it step by step. Starting with the first, every year we will have to invest 5.5 million. Until 5 years when we'll have to invest 27.5 million. So meaning that what we are looking at it is that Namibia need to produce or to grow or to plant 800 and something
tons.
Hectares. Yes. Okay. And what we are targeting is that by at least 2030, we must be able at least to plant 450. Half of what we are not producing. Because currently you find sometimes we are only producing 130 hectares. And mind you, we need to produce 850 or 880 for us to be able to be self-sufficient. But we are producing 100 and something. Do you see how far we are?
So it's a massive deficit.
It's a massive deficit. And that's why I'm saying that we need to reverse this situation. Even if it's not as of yesterday, we need to take baby steps and eventually we will reach there. Because I always like to say, a touch is a move and the move is a touch. So you need to start doing something. If you don't do something, you don't touch anything, you are not moving. And that is where we are coming from to say, the scheme started for so long and we then came out to single out and point out potato as a crop of concern.
Yeah.
And that's what informed the development of this scheme. And we are just starting. So we are starting now targeting the planting season of December, January, Feb, because that's official planting season optimally for the potato. And we are looking forward for the farmers to engage with us and participate so that we produce what we love and eat what we love.
Exactly, exactly.
I think that is what we are looking at.
Yeah. And obviously the deficit that we cited, that is the market, because the market access, which is one of the benefits, obviously, that the farmers or the new farmers.
Yeah, maybe just to touch also on the market access, I almost forgot that. It's just to say that, you know, production or market-led production approach is that is what we are advocating every day. Market-led production approach. We would want the farmer to adopt an approach of producing for the market. Not produce and market. So there's a very big difference there. You produce to market and you're producing for the market. And that is why in this scheme, already once we list you as a beneficiary, you have to be linked to the former market.
That's now the offtake.
That is now the offtake. Yeah. So that when you are producing, you are so sure that I am going to sell to Emily or to David. And that on its own already is an incentive. It's like you are incentivizing somebody because the order is sure.
The orders are already there.
But again, I know, even if we are going to link them to the former markets, the informal will also run after them.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you here that we are only able to produce 35, if it's more, or 25 of what we consume. The remaining percentage is coming from outside. So which meaning that there's a huge gap. And the gap is an opportunity, as you put it. So the market is there. It's not a problem. And that's why you see that I know we are not going to be, it's not only NAB that will be able to rectify this challenge alone. We call upon also other stakeholders. And farmers are stakeholders as well.
Yeah.
And we also commend actually radios like, for example, Eagle FM. You are also doing something, and I must commend you for the passion in agriculture.
Well, we had the lovely story about the massive harvest a little bit earlier, which was June, July.
Okay.
About specifically that, was it more than, I don't want to say more than 20 tons. Yeah, it was more than 20 tons, yes. Or close to 20 metric tons. And that obviously was a success story. You know, one specific like example, a case study that cited that success story. So yes, that's the reason why I asked Emily at the start, you know, when you, of our discussion, what specific kind of potato? And then you highlighted, you know, the various kinds of variants that are obviously present in Namibia. And the market access thing is the good thing. Because in many cases, we obviously see many more vendors popping up, which is also a market extension of an existing market. We still have at least an opportunity for 4 or 5 more minutes before we actually end our discussion. Emily, is there still something you wanted to add before we end our talk? Or from your side as well, Selma, I'm going to ask you again, even though we started the discussion off as well. Still something that you wanted to add?
Yeah, maybe just to also encourage the farmers to reach out to us. I think Soma already highlighted the contact details because we have respective officials in respective production zones. Please reach out. Where possible, come to our office. Don't wait to be told things, because sometimes you might be told things that are wrong. You must come to hear from the horse's mouth so that you participate. This scheme is for the farmers, and we want them to take advantage of this scheme. Because if they leave it to be, for example, if we happen to have low uptake of this scheme, it defines that the problem is not production costs, as we have been citing, and the problem is not seed. It will actually pointing to say we do not want to produce and feed ourselves, but rather we want to be fed by a neighbor. And it's dangerous. So I'm just then saying that please let us participate. Engage us. The form is available on the website. We are opening doors for you, and that's the main reason why NAB is existing. We are existing because of the farmers, because of the buyers, because of the traders. And also, there's also a component of access to tools and equipment. In case, for example, some farmers, they want to maybe hire some equipment or tools, or maybe they want to procure, we can also try to link them to the suppliers that can actually assist them with the mechanization, because sometimes you need to also use mechanical equipment so that you'll be able to fast track, for example, your harvesting, because the orders are waiting and you need to catch up with your, with the pace. So, and also another thing is just the finance, to say finance, there'll be a need for proof. You need to attach the proof of a finance that, yes, I'll be able to cover the 50%.
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily need to be in a liquidity form or to say to show cash, but it can also be in a form of a letter from your bank that I'm securing overdraft from maybe or a fund or a sponsor.
Mm.
Or if maybe you find yourself, you are a farmer in a green scheme, whereby they are maybe being funded 50% from the ministry or something, you just need to provide us with the form of a letter that, yes, this I'm able to cover the 50%. And the more last one that I like to comment is the ownership.
Mm.
If you look at it, is that a farmer called me today to ask, but what type of ownership should I provide? Why do you need this? It is very critical to prove to us and for us to understand that, what is your status with that land?
Mm.
Are you leasing or are you owning the land? Because in the past, we have learned that some people, they entered into gentleman agreement with their, maybe whether it's friends or neighbors or something, then they start planting. At the stage of harvesting, the owner changed their mind.
Because they now see maybe it's successful.
Because they see now, oh, my field can now also have soil. I see this, I'm sitting on the gold mine.
Yeah.
Then they were chased away from the field while their plants are almost there.
Mm.
And that's not what we are looking at, because that is a loss to us and it's a loss to you.
Mm.
So we want you to provide us a proof. If you are leasing, whether it's to your parents or to a sibling or to relative or friends, put it on paper, black and white.
So that we know the status.
So that we know the status. And you attach that agreement that, yes, Emily, I'm Emily and I'm in agreement to lease for how long.
Mm.
Then we are so secured, because the moment you leave the crop unharvested, it's a loss to us, because that product is no longer going to be seen in the market.
Yeah.
And remember, we are targeting 50% to 60%. You won't reach there if we'll be now dwelling in chaos. And another thing also, farmers, step out and find out.
Mm.
Don't be too comfortable. I always tell people to say, comfort can kill everything.
Mm.
The world is revolving. We are changing every day. Opportunities are presented to you. Some people, they'll say, potato is too difficult. But they will end up the one to apply while you are discouraged, and you go home and you continue with your tomatoes.
Mm.
Please step out and find out for yourself, not to hear what other people are doing. And lastly, just to also again encourage farmers to work together. Get organized. Some of you might not have a bigger land.
Mm.
Some others might be too big for you to fulfill them. But if you are organized in the same area and you are able to pull resources together, you can basically supply together. You can also bargain for inputs and it will become cheaper for you. You can bargain for transportation of your goods.
Mm.
Farming will be much easier. And it will be rewarding rather than doing it alone. I think I can end there.
100%. And on that particular note, specifically welcome, thanking that being Selma and Emily for joining us today from the Namibian Agronomic Board. I'm just going to pass the question once again, Emily and Selma. If there's anything I haven't asked, you still have the opportunity to do so. Contact details, perhaps, if people, just to let you know, dear listeners, you can always either visit the particular NAB website itself as cited, which is just nab.com.na, and the contact details are there. If people who are not in the potato production scope yet, Selma and Emily, can they still try to touch base? That's, for example, if they're livestock farmers, for that matter, because there's always an interesting aspect as well. Can they still touch base, ask, inquire from you guys, and then, just also visit the same particular information sets?
Oh, you mean the livestock farmers too?
Yeah, can they also still ask? Because climate change is hitting everyone.
Yes, I think before I allow also my colleague Selma to run through quickly on the contact details, I just want to emphasize again and say this scheme is for the new farmers and the existing farmers. A new farmer is somebody who never planted, but needs to be registered and have a land and water and want to start to step out and find out. Mm. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Please don't just focus on livestock. Climate change is serious and diversification is what we are promoting. You can basically apply. You're welcome.
Mm.
As long as you have water, reliable source, and you have land, those are the people that we are looking at. We are literally looking to recruit more farmers.
Yeah.
So for us, it will be actually a good news.
100%, 100%.
The contact officers for the various production zones, I've got Mr. Patrick Rubanda, that's representing Kavango and Zambezi. And he can be contacted at the 08128-95454. And then is Paulina Bubiana, representing CAST. She can be contacted at 08081-333-20. And Mr. Paulus Nashapi at the North Central at 08144026 69, and myself, Mr. Mahengo, at 08122652 34. And lastly but not least, let's take up the opportunity. I remember during the COVID, we had shelves empty in the shops because of the closing of the what?
Of the borders,
the lockdowns.
Yeah.
So now in Emily's language, they say that the left hand side should learn why the right hand side is
100%.
Functioning. So let's take up the opportunity while the neighbors are still feeding us, maybe because tomorrow they will say, you know what, I can only be able to provide for my people. So guys, see what you can do. So let's take up the opportunity and grab the scheme as it comes. Thank you very much, listener. And it was so good being with you, Devet.
100%, 100%. I would like to say thank you once again, Emily and Selma. Guys, thank you for actually also opening up my eyes, Emily, specifically on the soil discussion. Because I'm going to, I know I'm not a farmer, but I'm going to try it again at home, specifically to look into the soil preparation. But the it's always out there, dear listeners, in terms of making contact once again with our guests who were in studio here with us. On that note, guys, I'd like to thank you once again. Thank you for taking the time. Also thank sharing you. This information with us.
Yeah, thank you for thanking us.
100%.
We recruit farmers everywhere.
100%.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you once again, guys. And we'll quickly be taking a short break, dear listeners, and coming back right after this.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other
station. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and
be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
And now, home run. After that, a short, that's how it came out to me, you know, somewhat a little short, the discussion that was, I'm looking at it from the angle of it being a discussion between, yours truly, Dwight Links and the representatives coming out of the Namibia Agronomic Board. That's Selma Wahengo and Emily Abraham, educating us here on the importance of diversifications in a way of doing things. They say don't put all your eggs in one basket. Turns out that goes for everything, including investment and apparently farming too. And that means, monoculture, or more like, I know that monoculture is farming, mostly associated to, crop farming, on a piece of land over and over again. Now, I don't know what's the equivalent of that, one that would describe a situation where someone is farming with only one particular, one particular crop. Or only one, a crop variant, which is, it's actually not recommended, which is why the advice coming in from the diversification of it. And now I also, I was 2 days old when I found out that there are actually different types of potatoes used for different types of things. For me, it was just literally potato. Like, in a literal sense of potato, for me, it was like, well, just any potato can be used for chips or this or that. Turns out, they're also different. But I knew that about tomatoes. That they are type of tomatoes that you use for cooking, and they're those tiny ones that I like on my salad. Also, I've never used those ones for cooking. For one, they're just too small for, chopping in the pieces that I need for every time that I'm basically frying something. So that was the Namibian Agronomic Board bringing you the discussion of why you should consider applying for the initiative of 5.5 million for per year for a period of 5 years. That's something you should really look into if you are into farming, as long as you don't worry. If you feel like, okay, man, what is he talking about? I missed it. Don't worry. You can just always download the Eagle FM app, and you can tune in the podcast, and you can basically listen to the requirements and all the necessary information that is needed. But anyway, that's needed for you to qualify or participate in the scheme, because the goal is to, how can you help local producers participate? But that's for local farmers. Participate. Yay for you. So, to wrap up, we're just going to look into the energy discussion, and that's energy with the COP30 looming. COP30, it's November Conference of Parties, is coming in November and is taking place in Brazil. And energy mix is one of those topics that is mostly discussed, because this is where all countries basically come together and start talking about what every country is doing to help the overall energy transition because of the whole global warming thing. Now, because of that, we just figured out how a large chunk of Home Run was taken up by that very informative wisdom coming from the Namibia Agronomic Board. Just decided to wrap it up with the energy mix discussion of the type of energy mix, or more like energy initiatives or energy variation methods available in Namibia. It turns out, there are variations to everything. Nature likes variety. Turns out there are types, different types of potatoes. I thought it was potato. It turns out, you know. It turns out, no, they're different. So is energy generation, it turns out. Un momento, s'il vous plaît. Oh, yeah, I just found the perfect excuse.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back from that extended paying the bills, and we continue. So there are variations to everything,
yeah,
including energy. And it turns out, as I, you know, quickly learned, potatoes.
Hey, I didn't realize we Namibians, we eat so much.
Oh no, I realized that last year. I think I had that.
We chow down
potatoes. We eat a lot of potatoes. And anyone that has been to most of these, franchises that serve chicken alongside potatoes, all the money that I usually use to spoil myself with that type of food, I keep it for the middle of the month, because month end, the queues there are longer than the ones that we had during elections. That's how much we eat potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we do. And if you, how far you find the thing, just like Namibia's particular participation in the fossil fuel trading situation, it seems like Namibia has a better case of championing potatoes than championing oil, you know, in terms of which one actually would, you know, provide us best, what they call that, prosperity, the best level of prosperity. A potato has better chance than Namibia actually selling oil.
There are a lot of reasons actually behind why I would agree with you on that. Because one is, how long does it take for you to harvest a potato?
Well, you can do it within 2 years. Remember the guy from the broccoli guy? It took him just 5 years.
Yeah.
He's literal, you know.
Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing that, part up. Can you just, you know, advise homeboy to now look into this whole potato thing? Because clearly broccoli is...
I was there as an observer. I was not there as an active participant.
Just help a brother out, you know, in the name of a reconciliation. I don't know why that came up. But anyway,
yeah.
Look, it's a very good initiative. Now, as to the quantity, the quantity with which, the quantity at which we eat potatoes, I learned that thanks to that Pingana, I think that was last year.
Yeah,
I remember this other time we had this potato discussion, and that's where he mentioned a lot of terms that's associated with the potato farming with regards to the, how nutrient demanding nutrient demanding and water demand, not really water, but it's mostly nutrient demanding and attention demanding in terms of, in terms of looking out for all the pests and all the damage that we, for all the damage that can be caused to the plant. Yeah, it's more like it's like, I almost say it's like raising a child. What do I know? But now the thing is,
which is also a particular scenario of how do we put the oil and gas sector, Helmut, with this discussion that we're going to have up until 5 o'clock? It's like talking about a child that you were yet to have. Mm-hmm. But you've been talking since the 60s, apparently. That's now ultimately from the literature that we've got here in front of us that we're dissecting. Because it seems like the conversation around Namibia's potential to have oil well, we had the gas, we have the gas, has been spending since the 60s.
I think there's a, you know, there's a very perfect explanation of why extractive industry can easily send a country into a downward spiral, like a Dutch case disease downward spiral. Because it's have, first of all, it takes, it's like fine wine. It takes very long for you to perfect. But once the extraction starts, the taste is just perfecto. Mm. But it doesn't last very long. So, first of all, it takes very long for you to do all the surveys and set up all the necessary infrastructure for you to monetize these resources. But once you do, you can monetize it for bottom line is it's finite. But in this very, in this time period that it's producing this benefit, it produces a lot of it, produces the benefit in large quantity. The return on investment goes through the roof, which now, understandably, now makes a lot of people to want to be part of that cake.
Yeah.
So you're talking, skills wise. Everyone wants to, everyone starts, pursuing careers that will, that will get them either directly or indirectly to benefit from that sector. So, at the end of the day, you're gonna end up in a situation where a lot of sectors are abandoned in a lot of ways, not just financially, but also skill wise, because everyone wants to participate in the oil and gas. And now, when the resources runs out, you find that you have a lot of experts in the, in the line of work or the extractive resources that you are now out of.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at, that's when you start turning around and looking at industries or more like sectors like agriculture and tourism, for example. That's when you are now, you are going to realize just how much, you basically abandoned. So, by the time that you try to pick up all the pieces to sort of like to rebuild everything from the ground up without the massive return on investment, at this point, now, agriculture now is going to be very significant because, you get to the point where I can buy everything. Why should I produce it?
Mm.
Yeah. Then you end up in a situation where, when that resource runs out and the value of your currency is through the roof, thanks to that resources, everyone can afford to buy your stuff. So,
but that's was why I said, Helmut, it seems like Namibia, on the lay of the land in Namibia,
yeah,
it seems like we already have a Dutch curse, but that's regarding the other mining products.
No, when you look at it from the extractive, industry, the whole continent of Africa is drowning. It's already deep, knees deep.
Yeah, it's already drowning in a Dutch
case. In a Dutch case. Anything happened to the extractive industry,
the economy's fall.
Yeah.
And the particular instincts or aspects already, it's actually interesting, because we already debunked the NDB6's particular goal of achieving oil production by 2030, because the IBS literally says, but you can only see the oil production after 2030. And if everything is done, if everything is installed, and every part of the value chain and the ecosystem has been installed and has been met the requirements, you will only see the oil after 2030.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's an industry assessment of the country.
Yeah.
An industry-wide assessment. Now, the interesting thing here, dear listeners, is that obviously this particular document forms part of a conversation that we had that took a look at a global view, diversification away from oil, countries that are exporters and countries that are importers, that have to diversify their energy sources or energy requirements, develop or upgrade an energy mix that meets all their industrial needs in their countries or their particular national needs. Namibia obviously is also one of those particular countries on that scenario. Not that we're an energy or oil producer, but we're rather an fuel importer, meaning we're importing one of the products of oil.
Mm-hmm.
We're not refining the oil as yet in the country. And obviously, there's been many developments prior to this year that have taken place. For example, the MOU signed with Zambia in terms of establishing a pipeline for refinement in Zambia if the oil is to be pumped.
Yeah.
And then obviously, there's also been the particular discussions about who's going to be working on the platforms of the
of the oil rigs. Who's going to be working there?
Yeah.
Do you know what is my biggest fear, Helmut? That there won't be any refinement taking place in Namibia.
Yeah, that's, okay, even on the whole, you know, Zambia refining, looking at where our offshore oil is, I would say South Africa is more closer.
Yeah, even building the pipeline from there to Zambia.
That's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, because it's either you put all that oil on trucks and you drive to Zambia.
Okay.
Because I don't see a pipeline running across Namibia.
Carbon footprint. Trucks.
I know. And like you said, it would be easier to just channel it through South Africa this way.
Yeah.
And South Africa has an existing petrochemicals sector.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same sector.
But Mkhwanazi is not helping, so let's stick with Zambia on this one.
But it's the same sector that has been in existence since the 70s or the 80s?
The 70s, I think.
Yeah, South Africa makes synthetic oils or synthetic fuel products.
So they have the refining capacity.
They already have it.
Wait, was that last year when I was shocked to find out that Madagascar has
Is that what?
A refinery.
You don't have to whisper.
No, they are going through, you know, difficult times right now. We don't want to.
Hey, young, that military is opportunist. Yay. Yay.
Poor Madagascar.
Yay. That military is another military. I've never seen a military be so coming to say, hey, listen. We are in control now. And then the Gen Z guys are like, No,
we just not want you life. Guys. We're not changing, you know, we're not substituting a demon for the devil.
We just wanted water and lights.
That's it.
We didn't ask for military rule. What are you guys doing here? So yeah, if you guys want a Hollywood movie, go and watch Madagascar. You will see the best.
Oh, the Malagasy.
Best dramatic scenes coming about from that particular venture. Yeah. But we quickly have to take a short live read, dear listeners, and come back right after that. Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to $1 million Namibian in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash, and all you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liters, or 600 ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845, # Punch in the code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to the Coca-Cola social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition. Davidson University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Law, Commerce, and Education. For the following programs, Diploma in Legal Studies, Level 6, Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Science in Project Management Honours, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours for Math and Science for the grades 8, 4 to 7, and Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours for Math and Science for the grades 8 to 12. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. How to apply? Applications can be done online on our website at www.wu.edu.na. And the application fee for all courses is $230 Namibian. Payments can be done at the bank, EFT, or swiping at our campuses. The proof of payment must be uploaded on the application form along with all other relevant documents, and no ATM deposit receipts as a proof of payment will be accepted. All foreign qualifications must be accompanied by an NQA evaluation report or certificate. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vavitcha University, where everyone is an achiever.
Long day. Now, where are we? We started with the whole of Africa drowning in, basically on the brink.
Yeah.
Of a Dutch case disease, then went to Madagascar.
Here's another thing, Amok.
You know what's the problem with that?
Yeah.
I'm not blaming the military or the Gen Z. That's all arising from not listening to people. All they wanted, like you can just see the youth here, what they wanted was, we just want water and electricity. So, buddy, can you provide it? And they have been singing that song for eons.
Yeah.
And no one have basically responded it. And now, the biggest blunder, a very dumb one that I've been seeing in, you know, being done by one nation's leader after another on how to respond to protest is, every time there's a protest, they bring in the police. And when the police can't contain it, they bring in the army. What do you think the army does? They start shooting people.
Mm.
That, you know, whether you look at it from Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and all this, now, bring out the military and start shooting people have only made things worse. Like, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
But none of these guys with all their PhDs want to understand that. When you bring out, you know, when you bring out the military, what the military does is the police and the military have different lines of work. The police are there to contain and they arrest you so they can take you to court.
Yeah.
Now, well, the military also takes you to court, but that's the court of how was your life on earth type of court. So that's, I don't want to go to that court. At least, you know, not yet.
Mm.
Yeah. So, coming back to our, oil discussion. The thing is, the information coming out of if we can just slowly go back to Mr. Shobon's presentation of the state of the Namibian economy, he did touch on a lot of things and basically asked a lot of questions that I would argue reasonable questions of if you are going to say okay, we want to build a refinery, for example, or we want to process this this product at home, take uranium for example, what actually are you talking about? Because you have to explain in detail.
Yeah.
Do we see ourselves refining, take uranium, refining uranium to the point of using it to generate energy? Yes. But in the time frame, that's a long one for us to get there.
Mm.
That's a very long one for us to get there. Because of the skills and the experts and basically the geopolitical sensitivity is mostly the geopolitical sensitivity associated with uranium.
But here's the nightmare, Hamad. There's more geopolitical sensitivity around oil.
Oh, yeah.
Than uranium.
Because oil is more often associated with democracy. I get that part.
The conversation currently happening globally around nuclear is that it seems like the Security Council of the UN is slightly, you know, that they are softening their stance. Because now every country has to now come and prove who wishes now to get into this nuclear, you know, energy discussion or adding nuclear energy into its energy mix is to prove that it's for peaceful uses. The programs that you can have in your universities are therefore peaceful civilian use and applications,
yeah,
which is a very, you know, very powerful, what's that thing's name? Sort of like requirement that you put down for any country who wants to get into this conversation. But once again, Helmut, it brings us back to the thing of that there is an illustration of a Dutch curse being present already on the whole continent.
Yeah.
Because we can have all the lovely conversations. We can send people wherever we want to, whatever events, just like you showed me earlier today. I went and looked at where the standing committee was on natural resources, or when that event took place.
Mm-hmm.
How much it took place at the end of September. We're 2 weeks into this direction.
Yeah.
That particular event of the World Atom Week, which took place in Moscow, was at the end of September, 2 days, 28 to 29 September.
Yeah.
Which then asks the question of, you know, yes, dear listeners, if you don't know, I just dropped a particular sort of like hint. We have standing committee members, just like I found out last year when I was there in Russia, at Sochi, at the Atom Expo. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, was also organized by Rosatom, like this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here are these standing committee members.
Yeah, like, wait, what?
I'm like, but we weren't told these guys would be here. And then I found
I think they were as shocked as you were. Like,
no,
wait.
But then I also found the governor of America. Then I was like, huh? What's going on here?
What's going on here? Do you know what's the worst part?
Welcome to Maheke, the cold version.
Do you know what's the worst part?
Yeah.
On the website of the World Atom Week.
Yeah.
No, World Nuclear, what? Yeah, World Atom Week that took where the new Standing Committee of Natural Resources participated in is literally the same space shuttle that I saw at that university as the front page on the website.
Uh-huh. Well, it was,
they hosted it at a science university, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But so this was supposed to be at a Moscow event, but I see the same thing that I saw in Sochi. I'm like, isn't that the same university? But yeah, besides those semantics, the discussion obviously has to show people that doesn't matter which country you're from, if you're from the developing world, you are fighting a curse that's technically already present. And it's the Dutch curse.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't see it yet in your money. You don't see it yet in your exports. You don't see it yet in anything else. It's just the concern is a reverse one, Helmut. Even if Donald Trump comes and hits us with whatever tariffs, we won't be able to afford American products. Firstly, because that would indicate our money is not that strong. Secondly, if we try to diversify our economies in any direction to build up resilience and all that other particular aspects, yes, maybe if you go into agriculture, you know, maybe your diversification can start from there. But anything else, just forget about it. Just forget about it.
My favorite part is who we chose to send to this event.
Helmut, stop it.
Okay, fine.
Helmut, stop it. And I know you were itching to just say,
you have
no, no, say, he's a public official now.
Yeah. Look, I always consider Toby Apindi as a, you know, how do I put this? I like how he basically look at the, you know, Namibia's energy generation capacity.
Mm.
And, earlier this year when, when he was criticizing, was that, NamPower for all the, for all the tariffs.
Mm.
But here's the thing. I think, when it comes to this event, which he attended because he is chairing the Natural Resources Standing Committee. In this event, one thing that he pointed out was that, when it comes to Namibia's adoption of nuclear energy generation, it's always important to start it from a smaller scale. He did not specifically say small modular, but I think that's what he was referring to before you go to the full scale, and that's if it's needed, like the whole full large scale nuclear assembly, nuclear reactor. But, here's the thing. I think the biggest problem with energy is, the biggest problem with energy in Namibia, if we want to address the price, we have to address where it's coming from. How are you producing it?
Mm.
Because, if you are going to produce it, you are going to need a lot of experts. You are going to use a lot of equipment, and all these things is going to require cost. And you have to, you are going to use a lot of infrastructure that you will need to get this power from point A to point B. And if you are buying most of it from outside the country, it's coming in from an international trading currency denomination, that's the US dollars.
Yeah.
So all these things factors into the price of the consumer at the end will have to suffer. So I think it's a supply demand thing that we are dealing with. If you are not producing enough of it, the price of the little that you are producing is going to go through the roof. Now, how do you produce enough so that you can basically influence the price? Because if you just, drag the price down without producing enough, you are going to end up with the companies that are producing the electricity telling you, okay, so what's in it for us then?
Mm.
Because at some point, if you just, drag the price down, it's going to get to the point of the business people the people that are involved in the production, not just the private, but also the public sector, Because even the public sector is using equipment that they need to buy. They have people they need to pay and all these things. And you have, throwing inflation in that. And I like the human being that Eagle FM turned me into, first of all. Look,
it's fascinating conversation.
I'm telling you, it's fascinating looking at all these things, and basically how they all feed into each other from where something is produced and what's required, especially the manpower and the tools that's needed. And all these things needs financing, and all this needs to be factored into the price of the end consumer.
Yeah.
And the end consumer is suffering the consequences, not because the suppliers hate the consumer. It's just that they have to keep up with the demand. I know that they have been mostly, there are a lot of companies that have been accused of price gouging, especially in the Western world. That's also part of, unfortunately, their human nature and greed. But the first way of looking at it, at least the first way that I look at it, is that all this infrastructure needs maintenance, needs people that are qualified to maintain it. They need now all these things cost money. If you want to run, if you want to keep the energy supply sustainable, unfortunately, at some point, sooner or later, if you are not, if you are not investing into producing more of it, at some point, you're going to have to jack up the price. Is it going to bite consumers? Yeah, I am one of the consumers. And we're literally paying the price. And so the nuclear dive, nuclear energy into this nuclear discussion in terms of energy generation or energy mix, Namibia's energy mix, is a brilliant idea. Yeah. But the implementation part of it, I would also go with, when it comes to the implementation of it, just for fast implementation, small modular reactor. Mm. If we go the traditional nuclear way, boy, that's going to take a very long time to acquire the skills and then get all the equipment and then build the infrastructure. We're looking at another oil and gas situation.
Yeah, we are. The concern is obviously, Hamoud, we've got to understand whether or not oil and gas still has a future.
Please.
Yes, oil and gas still has a future today and next year, maybe. But it's how things will happen at the end of, let's say, 2030, which is the desired goal setting. You know, this is theme, 2030 here with SDGs, 2030 there with Namibia, 2030 somewhere with AU, and 2030 somewhere, I don't know, for somewhere else. But yeah, we have like this hanging tick or clock of 2030 on our heads. And
yeah.
I mean, all I can say is that, yeah.
I don't know. All right, Dwight?
Yeah, we've got to end it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So until tomorrow, same time, same place, dear listeners, obviously by tomorrow we'll be back with the home run in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll actually get a double dose of me right after the home run as well.
Yeah.
But don't worry, same time, same place. Stay tuned for the rest of your programming, and good night.
Have a good one.